Welcome, everybody, to episode 281 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by the snorkeling J-Trip.
Hello. Hello. Not quite completely underwater. I'm 6 foot four. It's hard for me to be completely underwater.
Yes. Very tall, J-Trip. But I only mention it because you've had a deluge of rain there.
Lots of rain. We got 4 inches 2 days ago. We got over 6 inches last night that fell, and so we've got roads closed and people's driveways underwater, washed away, and
people getting so around far, by canoe.
Yes, these, the dogs are afraid to go outside. They don't like being in the rain and everything. I mean, it's but so far so good. Everyone that lives around me and where our house is okay. Everyone seems to be pretty safe right now. So pretty good to go.
Yeah, it's been very hot here today. You know, we get the weather report where we're at every week. You notice that? You know, the weather. It's like one of those things where you just it's a good conversation starter. You know, hey, how you doing? How about that sunshine? You know, how about them bears?
Right. Well, you know, it's like we can look back at 300 episodes of the Tavern, and it's like a global warming record. We can say it's just getting hotter. It's just getting hotter. It's just getting hotter.
I never looked at it that way. So before we get started, I want to say that in recent weeks on the Tavern, via email, via Twitter, there have been a number of listeners to the show who have reported errors trying to download the show, namely through Stitcher, and there's a podcast app available on Chrome. Can't think of it out the something cast. Go figure. And then Apple's podcasting app. And when you would try and download an episode from the Tavern, it would say episode temporarily unavailable. And I found out that this started back around episode 271 and ran all the way up until 280. Now, the problem was difficult to diagnose because the MP3s would play in some browsers and some apps and wouldn't in others. So I really didn't have any idea what was going on. As it turns out, I believe that the service I used to convert a YouTube video, which is how I do the show via Google Hangout, YouTube videos, the Google Hangout video, and then I convert the MP4 into an MP3 using the service, I think there was an error in the conversion process. So what I ended up doing is using a different service, reconverting all the old episodes into new MP3 files, uploading them. Then I had to purge the cache on the site so that the links to the new files would show up because some of the links changed. And now the MP3 should be accessible. I've tested it in the podcasting app on the iPhone. I'm able to download and listen to all the episodes. I've also tested in Stitcher, and that was fine. So I believe I've located and fixed the problem. So people have a couple of hours, possibly, of WordPress Weekly to catch up on. And I just want to let everybody know that the issue should be fixed. And if you couldn't access older episodes, maybe now you'll be able to. Go back to episode 271 and start from there and then work your way back up.
The good news, as far as I'm concerned, is that it turns out that it isn't my fault that this happened. It just happened to coincide with when I started helping you out. And so I just thought that I came in and cursed all of the files. But it turns out that that wasn't the case. So
I just thought it was convenient that on episode 271, where this issue started, is the episode where it was like the first episode you were on as co-host. So, I had to make a one-to-one connection there. But, thankfully, thankfully it wasn't your fault. It was a conversion error. So that should be taken care of. There you go. And we want to pass along our condolences to the Peterson family, friends and family there. Jesse Peterson, who we've mentioned on the show before, who at times was raising money for healthcare, health expenses. He ended up passing away on July 5th. So we wanted to pass along our condolences to him. And on today's show, it's going to be a bit in memory of him. And I brought on Ben Meredith, who is a self-taught developer, who has learned the hard way, all of the different ways WordPress can break. He's a senior tech person at GiveWP, a really cool donation plugin that we've talked about here on the show before. And he also owned by WordPress, and he's the organizer for WordCamp Raleigh and is a foster parent. And we'll get into that more in a little bit. But Ben gave a speech at Jesse's funeral and said that Jesse was his best friend that he never had the opportunity to meet. And I thought it would be nice to sort of for him to inform us and our audience as to the kind of person that we lost in the WordPress community, considering how they've talked every day and they established kind of a cool relationship over the past couple of years. And Ben, thanks. I know this might be difficult for you to do, but I very much appreciate you being on the show today.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it because Jesse was, he was a big deal. And I think that the WordPress community lost somebody special and even maybe more influential in the WordPress space than I knew, as has been evidenced since his passing, just with the donations that have come in from literally all over the world. And so that's been, it's been really encouraging. Obviously it's not, you know, it doesn't bring it back, but it has been really encouraging to see the WordPress community along with this church community just rallying around Kristen and the boys.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Jesse Peterson was, I believe, one of the first employees at iThemes when they opened up 2007, 2008. And then Jesse established his role as a freelancer, as a WordPress developer, as a consultant, ended up working on many different client projects. And then he became the founder of Genesis, Genesis Theme, but it's Genesis THE.ME, you know, with the whole domain thing. And it was his site where he sold commercial products related to the Genesis framework. And I know that he actually impressed Brian Gardner a lot over the years. And Brian Gardner referred a lot of work over to Jesse Peterson. And just lately he was working on, I believe, something where you can modify child themes. It had something to do with was it Genesis Palette Pro, or was that, it might've been somebody else. But he was working on a couple of different Genesis products. Oh, one, he just, it was a widget where you could display post or something after
After entry widget, So after any single entry.
He's done that. He's also a speaker. He's been a speaker at, is it WordCamp Tampa?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, WordCamp Tampa. He's spoken at WordCamp. And the thing about Jesse is he's been battling cystic fibrosis for a number of years, and he ended up passing away from complications of that. And I think it was a severe lung bleed that they couldn't stop at the emergency room. And he said some pretty inspirational things, actually, you know, just recently before he passed away, both on Twitter and on Facebook. But before we get into that, Ben, sort of, explain to us how you met Jesse and how you established this relationship with him.
Sure. If you saw the live stream of the funeral, you'll know that I didn't actually meet Jesse in person. And so I started off my speech or my tribute to Jesse just by saying, is it possible to have a best friend that you never met? And then I went through and talked about how we had only met online, but really had formed a deep connection. Honestly, I think it started on Twitter. I think I started following him on Twitter because his bio looked interesting. I was interested that he was a developer, but at the same time a foster dad and a small business owner and all this stuff. And it was like 2015, so it's relatively recently. And so I ended up reaching out to him on Twitter because I saw him tweet one morning about WP Morning Crew, like hashtag WP Morning Crew. And I thought, what's that? And so I tweeted at him and said, what's WP Morning Crew and how do I join? And so he sent me a link. It was just a Slack community. He sent me a link and joined there and really found out that we had lots in common. Our faith, our home life, being working from home with wives that had business degrees that kept us straight and kept us in line and kept us from overspending our budgets and all of those things that that our wives did for us. And so we really grew really close. And it wasn't, maybe it happened over time. It wasn't like immediately we were best buddies. But over the year and a half to 2 years, until I'd say this past 6 months, we've really grown a ton because he was listed for active transplant for He was right at 110 days when he passed away. So, and that was really special time to be able to connect with him privately and to hear his excitement about getting new lungs, his excitement about, you know, how this is going to change his life and all that kind of stuff. So I was really able to share with him and grow really close in a relatively short amount of time. So, but it was all digital, all online. We were supposed to meet at WordCamp Orlando 2016, but of course the hurricane decided to reschedule it. And then I missed the rescheduled date because I had become a foster parent, because Jesse made me become a foster parent. He pestered me until I finally relented and got licensed. My wife and I got licensed to be foster parents, and we had taken in a respite, which is like when you give another foster parent a break, if they're, you know, they're sick or they're leaving the country or something and the foster kid can't go with them, the other foster parents take in the respite. So that's what we ended up doing the weekend that WordCamp Orlando was rescheduled for. And so I missed out on meeting him. So I would have met him that weekend, but it just wasn't to be.
Yeah, and we mentioned he was on a double lung transplant list. And last month, Peterson actually got a phone call where they had a set of lungs that they thought they would be able to install for him. to say a kind of a geeky term there. And he tweeted a picture of him. He had a huge smile on his face, you know, understandably so, about the phone call. Unfortunately, throughout the process, the doctors determined that the lungs were not in a suitable condition for transplant, and Jesse ended up writing this great post. Well, I don't know if great's really the word for it, but it's a post where he writes in raw emotional detail about what this thing called a dry run is, where all of the emotions he went through that day, the highs and the lows, and thinking about what it would have been like, you know, post-transplant and working on recovery, and then to find out that he's going to have to wait a little bit longer. And it was a hell of a post that he wrote. It's like a couple thousand words. And yeah. It really sucked. But he also, on the bright side of things, you know, a day or two later, he said, hey, you know, because I didn't get those bad lungs, it saved me from years of possible, you know, more operations and sickness and complications. So Jesse was the type of guy who, it seems, no matter how much he was punched down, he always saw the bright side in things. You know, he always looked at the bright side.
Yep, I can definitely attest to that. He would say something to me like, man, I'm just having a really grumpy day. And I'd say, well, what's going on? He's like, I'm at 15% lung function. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'd be having a grumpy day too, right? I mean, but his level of grumpy was like tiny compared to right. what I would be doing with the same amount of, you know, obstacles against me. So yeah, relentlessly positive.
And we talk a little bit about Jesse's faith. You know, Jesse was very devoted to his church, to the church members, to family. He attended a special Bible class, something every Thursday, a special class related to the church. And they were saying during the funeral that he attended almost every session during the week with his oxygen tank. It didn't matter what was going on. He attended those sessions, unless he was really bad off. But usually he would attend those sessions, and he was really devoted to his faith and to the church. And that was something cool to realize as well about him.
Yeah, it was neat to hear his Bible study guys, because I kind of got the other side of the Bible study guys' stories, because he'd be like, yeah, this awesome guy from my Bible study. And, you know, to hear at the funeral for them to be sharing the flip side of the stories and saying how neat it was to see Jesse still coming to stuff. Because I was amazed, too. You know, he would be like just out of the hospital from some minor procedure the day before. And he's like, but I'm still going to make it a Bible study. That's amazing. And his, yeah, he definitely super committed to his faith and to church and to, you know, it wasn't just a Sunday morning thing. I joked at the funeral. I said, I'm the work friend, right? I'm not the church friend. The church friend's after me. He's going to share about Jesse as church friend, but even as work friend, we talked about Jesus a whole lot. So.
I wanted to read two brief short stories, things that Jesse Peterson wrote shortly before he passed away. And I think it kind of it gave me a lot of insight into the mindset and the kind of person Jesse was. And the first is, and I'll quote, when you meet a five-year-old who needs a heart and double lung transplant but has been turned down everywhere, your situation doesn't seem so bad. That family doesn't care about politics, social class, keeping up with the Joneses, or whether their clothes match. They're enjoying life. Because when it comes down to it, all we really need is to know our worth and love everyone else because they have equal worth. That doesn't mean you have to agree with everyone, but you don't have to seek out opposition or turmoil. Random acts of kindness rock. And then he says, can you look over your life and say you'd be leaving those connected to you better off having known you? And if not, start today, end quote. And it's really, a lot of people have latched onto that, especially that last part. And it's pretty profound. And I think it's even a little more profound considering the time span of when that was written and when he passed away. Mm-hmm. But I think gives people a little insight into his thought process. And the other story is he talks about how he, and I'll just quote him. He says, I finally got out of the house to go do a God and country service followed by fireworks. While waiting to go outside, a mom I had seen pushing a small boy in a wheelchair with a surgical mask, an oxygen tank on him, came over to me. I just wanted to say how cool I think your double tank card is. I'm going to call my supplier tomorrow to get one for our wheelchair. And then he says that they started talking, most unlike Jesse, he says. And she said that her son needed a heart and double lung transplant, but they've been turned down everywhere, starting with the very forgiving Pittsburgh Center. And Jesse said that, you know, he was so sorry, apologized to them. She nodded her head with the pain look and said that we're just going to make the most of our time now. And then Jesse says that his heart broke and that he's already lived seven of his lifetimes. He's played sports, graduated from college, stood on the equator, married his best friend. And he has two healthy boys. And he says, just kick me the next time I complain about my weight. Okay. And just those two stories kind of illustrate the kind of person and the mindset Jesse has and Jesse was, where even in the midst of everything that was going on with him, if he could somehow help other people, he would.
Yep. I think funny story about the first of those Twitter rants that he went on, where he was, you know, saying that if you can look back on your life and, you know, that tweet that everybody's retweeted. Right after he posted that, he messaged me on Slack and he was like, I think that's the most positive I've ever been on Twitter. And I just thought that was hilarious. I was like, yeah, most of the time your rants are a lot more, you know, cantankerous or something like that, isn't it? You know, you're not relentlessly positive on Twitter, because he was, you know, he's a stubborn guy. He was, you know, he's not, there's no, I don't want to gloss over and make him into some saint where he was, you know, he never got angry. No, he got angry a lot. He never got frustrated. No, he got frustrated a lot. But I do think that the way he approached problems was really educational for me, to see how to approach difficult situations, whether it's difficult code situations, because he and I were both just pretty much, you know, self-taught developers that we don't know far more than we do. And so we would be asking each other PHP questions of what the heck's a singleton? I don't know. You know, and so we'd be going back and forth. But the way he approached problems, I think because of cystic fibrosis and because he had learned very early on that, you know, yes, it's a problem, but yes, I can overcome problems. That's what I do. And so he just was relentless. You know, he would never give up on coming up with some way to find some positive something somewhere, even if he spent 15 minutes ranting about it first, you know. So he's definitely a special guy.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the support that the WordPress community has given him and his family over the past couple of years. There was a point where I think Jesse and their family has taken in over, has been foster parents over about 35 different children. And there were two children in particular that they wanted to adopt as their own, fully adopt and take care of them. And there was a point in time where Jesse needed some money to pay for legal fees and court costs and things associated with the process, the adoption process of doing things that way. And the WordPress community stepped up. I know we gave them you know, it was 12 grand at the time, and then they needed some more money. So I think we gave them, ended up pitching in 20 grand. And then earlier this year, there's the campaign for 20 grand to help pay for medical expenses as Jesse waited for the double lung transplant, and it would help him in the recovery process as well. And then most recently, there's a campaign for 20 grand to help pay for funeral expenses. But you know, the community said, 20 grand, are you kidding me? Nah, we'll step it up. We'll give you about 43. How about that? You know, so there's a campaign for, you know, it's still open. If anybody is able to donate, please do so. It's newlungsfor.me, site dedicated to Jesse, where donations are about up to $43,000 now, which I think is unbelievable. So over the years, the WordPress community financially has really supported this family. And what kind of support have you seen in recent days in terms of maybe not just financial, but maybe emotionally, or maybe helping you take over the projects? Because I believe at the time, Jesse still had a number of client projects that were going on.
Yeah, absolutely. He, you know, there was, he was definitely not like not working. He still had people as recently as the day before he passed, where he had open emails and things, ongoing client stuff. And I'm not a front-end developer. I cannot take over his client work, right? And I can answer his emails, and I can help with the hosting issues and things like that for some of his clients. But, yeah, he definitely had ongoing stuff. And very quickly after he passed away, and I'm, you know, posted on social media and Facebook and Slack and some other places, I very quickly had people coming in to direct message me and say, hey, if you need anything at all for Jesse's business, let me know. I'm happy to help. And these are, you know, the big names in WordPress, and they didn't ask to be named, and I'm not going to name them, but a lot of people that that you would recognize in the WordPress space were doing it not because they wanted the recognition, but because it was the right thing to do for Jesse and his family. And Jesse often, when we first started talking about even this most recent campaign, not the one since he's passed, but the campaign for his medical expenses during his recovery, he was like, man, we've already gone to that well. I don't want to go and ask for more money. You know, they helped us adopt Parker, and, you know, and I kind of pushed the issue a little bit. I'm like, no, I think you should try it, you know, and the worst people can say is no, right? And they said a resounding yes, you know. And then to see the next round now be passing, you know, I put that $20,000 just kind of on a whim. Like, okay, let's make $20,000. And, yeah, it was like 23 hours later it was they had surpassed that goal. and so I logged back. Yeah, I got into the WP Morning Crew Slack and was talking to the folks in there. I was like, what do you think I should do? And all of them are like, raise the goal. Kristen still needs money, and, you know, there's still a definite need. And it looks like the WordPress community is going to step up. So give them an opportunity to, and somebody was like, yeah, you should raise it to like 30,000. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go big. I'm going to go for the fence this time. I'm going to go for 100,000. So, and there's still a chance that we could hit it. So, and all of that money is going directly to Kristen and the boys. There's no cut being taken of it other than the payment gateway fees. There's no cut being taken from that. So rest assured of that. I did find out yesterday that, or was it yesterday or 2 days ago, that there is a small life insurance policy. I don't know how much, but there is something there. So I updated the post to say that, that Jesse did have a small, probably way too expensive life insurance policy that will be paying out some. And so this will be in addition to that to help.
And this sounds more like a personal question, but Kristen is Jesse's wife. And
yes.
How did she mention, I mean, what are her thoughts on just seeing this continuation, this outpouring of support from the WordPress community?
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody asked me
that at all to you?
Yeah. Somebody asked me in the post out of Slack, but they said, hey, have you made sure she's okay with it? You know, and I said, yeah, absolutely. I checked with her before I I started the campaign. And the next day, that, you know, during that 24-hour period where all of those donations were rolling in, I just kept getting text messages from her. It was group texts from her with her mom and a couple other people, and they were texting just overwhelmed with thankfulness from the WordPress community, or for the WordPress community.
Donating some generosity.
She's been really blown away, and I think she, like me,
uh-oh,
surprised at how. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Now you're fine. For a second, sorry. There, it sounded like you went robot.
But yes, I tend to do that when I'm on work. When I'm on work meetings, I like to go into robot mode. It's pretty cool.
You're okay now, but so. Something, I don't know, it seems like maybe it would be a difficult conversation to have, but you've really stepped up, you're helping out the family, you're taking over the technical side of Jesse Peterson's business, you're trying to work with his clients. What was that, when did that conversation take place, or how did that conversation go between you and Jesse when he reached out to you and said, Ben, you know, would you be able to handle the support and the inquiries and the things related to my business if the worst happens?
I'm trying to remember. We never made a if the worst happens plan, but we did make a during recovery plan, right? And so I never really signed up for, when you die, I'm going to take over all your stuff. And I'm still not trying to take over his stuff. I'm trying to manage his stuff for Kristen while she grieves, and then we're going to set up a plan going forward. So, but yeah, there was never like I don't think we ever made plans for what if things don't go well. And the recovery plan was more, I think it was initiated by me. I think he was freaking out about, well, what about recovery? You know, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. I said, dude, I can check emails. Like, I got this. If we get client work, while you're in recovery and you're not able to do any work, we can either, you know, pass it off to other developers or whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. And so that started the conversation of, you know, getting me the passwords and all that stuff. And the dry run was actually really helpful in that sense, because I realized how little I had of access to his business when the dry run happened. I was like, oh, crap. I can't log into anything. I don't have this. I don't have that. And so I made a list of things that I needed and was planning on getting from Kristen, because we were hoping that it wasn't a dry run, right? But ended up, you know, it was a dry run. And so the next couple of days, I was able to sit with Jesse and say, okay, if it happens for real, here's the things that I'm going to need. And so that's been hugely helpful. And then the last couple of days in Florida, being able to fly down there and get into Jesse's work machine and get all of the things I need to get so that I'm able to support the business in this little interim period.
Have there been any thoughts or plans on having Jesse's digital life live on? You know, CS Fat Boy or any other domains that he owns?
Yeah, I don't know. That's obviously going to be up to Kristen
and
whatever she wants to do. But we've tried to have that conversation. I said she's tried to have that conversation a couple of times, and I keep saying it's not time yet. It's not. We need to grieve. We need to take some time, probably 6 months before those kind of conversations need to be had. And in the meantime, we'll just be in a holding pattern. And thankfully, there's such a large cushion financially where we can take that time to grieve and to just miss our friend, in her case, miss her.
No, just kind of give you insight. I believe so. It was let me double check. I believe, yeah, okay. It was a Wednesday. Sure. So July 5th was a Wednesday. I had just gotten Chinese food. I came home. I was sitting out back in the patio. I opened up the MacBook Pro, and then I saw your post about Jesse Peterson passing away. And I'm like, boom! You know, instantly I get that feeling in my stomach. Like, oh no, are you kidding? Come on, he was just tweeting, you know, 11 hours ago. You know, what are you talking about? He just passed away. And I'm sitting there, and it took me a while to process, you know, his loss. And, you know, I just kept monitoring Twitter, and I'm like, oh, no, you know. And there was a time a couple of years back where I said, you know, I've been writing about WordPress for all these years, and not once have I written about somebody in the community passing away. And now I've written about Kim Parcell, I've written about Alex King, and now I've written about Jesse Peterson. And out of all the things I write, these somewhat obituary type posts are the most difficult for me to write. And in writing Jesse, the post about Jesse passing away, I was going to write that Jesse passed away. He lost his battle to cystic fibrosis. And then for some reason I stopped. I said, wait a minute. If I say that Jesse lost his battle, it kind of makes him out to be a loser. It's kind of a negative. You know, maybe I shouldn't say that. I should say, I got to say something else. And this is something that you brought up during a funeral. And I actually asked on Twitter, I said, you know, is it demeaning to say that someone lost their battle with an illness? You know, does it mean that they're a loser? Is it a negative on top of a negative? And maybe I'd give you an opportunity to kind of expand on that. What do you think about that, of saying somebody lost their battle?
Yeah, I don't use that phrase, especially when it comes to Jesse. Some people lose to illnesses. Jesse beat the hell out of his illness. And I mean that in the theological sense. It's a funny story because I said hell from the pulpit at this ginormous Baptist church. The pastor, who's a fantastic man, we were at the graveside service and it had ended and they were, you know, across the way a little bit. He came over and just completely deadpanned it. He was like, I don't appreciate you using hell. And there was like 4 seconds of no smiling right after that. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, and then he busted out laughing. And so, I do think that, it just doesn't feel right to me to say that he lost his battle with cystic fibrosis, because just like he never let cystic fibrosis define his life, I don't want to let cystic fibrosis define his death, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a fighter and stubborn as hell fighter when it came to not letting cystic fibrosis be what defined him. He would sometimes send me like snippets of, like, I saw this, and he was in some cystic fibrosis support groups on Facebook and stuff, and he would send me snippets of other people, and, you know, they just were so down in the dumps and in the doldrums, and, you know, oh, poor pitiful me. And he's like, he said, don't ever let me be represented that way. Like, I'm not somebody who lost and is, you know, waiting on somebody else to save me from my illness. And so I took that to heart and hopefully honored him with that. I think he would have appreciated me saying the word hell from a Baptist pulpit.
And in relation to his faith, he sort of had the mindset of, hey, I'm either going to get new lungs and continue living my life here on this earth, or I'm going to get new lungs when God takes me away. And he had the viewpoint of heads. And the preacher said this during the funeral, heads I win, tails I win. So, you know, that's kind of the way Jesse looked at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't have an opportunity to meet him. I did have a private conversation with him through DM. It was very short, but it was shortly after I had written a post about the crowdfunding campaign for the $20,000 for his recovery and medical expenses. And he was very appreciative. I mean, he said, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for covering this. And we talked about a couple of other things as well. And that was about it. And I come to find out, you know, at the funeral, he lived in Ohio at some point. You know, I had no idea that at one point he lived in Ohio. If I did, I would have direct messaged him and would have figured out, hey, where did you live? You know, and, hey, what do you think about Ohio? I'll tell you what I think, but no matter how, but he lived down in Florida, and I'm going to miss his tweets about the weather and the geese and that retention pond he had in his backyard that sometimes would overflow, and just his tweets on life and his thought process, and he really loved his two boys. And you had an opportunity as you went down and spoke about your friendship and your work relationship with Jesse, but if you had a chance to now meet his wife and meet his two boys, and what was that experience like?
Do
his two boys, from your understanding, do they understand what happened?
Maybe a little, the older one. the younger one, no, not at all. It's still, he's still too. But yeah, it's going to be a rough go for them, I'm sure. But they're wonderful people. Kristen's wonderful, and her family has been so supportive of her, and will continue to be, I'm sure. The kids are kids. I love that, you know, everybody's so down in the dumps, and his son walks up to me and, you know, asks if I know how to fist bump. Well, yes, I do. I do know how to fist bump. Let's do it. You know, and so it's just kids are great. So
and now you're going to have to teach him how to dab.
That's, you know, right.
That's the next thing.
And draw the line.
Go ahead, John. Did you have something, John?
No, I was just laughing. Dabbing. I feel like I missed the whole dabbing thing as an adult without kids.
Yeah, for the longest time, I had no idea what that meant. Look, to be honest, I thought it had something to do with weed. And then I find out, no, it's a pose. So, you know, that's how out of touch I am with reality. But now that Jesse's passed away and we remember him, you know, he's got all these great memories. Now we deal with and this is something I've had to deal with. I still deal with Kim Parcell, who passed away a few years ago, where I'll come across a post or a tweet or something in Google search or Facebook, a memory of something that she wrote or she did, or it was a tip or a post or a, you know, this life after death. You kind of, because of Facebook and social media, they these people, even when they pass away, they stick around for so much longer now that, you know, it's just every now and then when I come across something like a tweet that Kim wrote, it's like, oh, you know, for a split second, it's like, oh man, where'd that come from? And then I realize, you know, it's something that's archived. So that seems like something. I mean, is Kristen, is she well up on social media? Does she participate in Facebook and mm-hmm. Twitter and things of that way? And that's going to be
not,
something.
She's not a Twitterer. She made fun of us for being geeks on Twitter, which I'll take that. I deserve that. But yeah, she didn't do much on Twitter. She has a Twitter account. She doesn't do much there. And then, but she's on Facebook.
Man, and I've read so many articles in the past, you know, couple of years on things that people should do or think about on setting up your digital archive or your digital life, you know, after you pass away. And there's all these things. I think about it all the time, and I still, whether it's stubbornness or I just don't get around to it, you know, the hit by a bus file where I write down all the passwords, you know, to get into my laptop, to get into the bank, to get into my password manager. And I still haven't done that. I mean, John or you, Ben, have you created a hit by a bus file yet?
I have started it, but I probably need to update it. And I'll tell you, getting into Jesse's computer and looking around that stuff was a big gut check. That no matter how ready you think you are, mm-hmm. Nobody's ready, right? When it comes to that kind of stuff, there are so many things that were still exclusively existed in Jesse's head. When it came to his, and here's a guy who's active on a lung transplant list and knows that he could die, you know, had probably a better sense of his own mortality than the rest of us. And yet still we, you know, scouring through files, trying to find things. And yeah, it's, I've started it. I started it years ago. But I definitely need to revisit my file to make sure that, if the same thing were to happen to me, my wife would have a better chance of finding all of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, me and my wife share a bank account. We don't share passwords. So I guess that would help her out. John, do you have a hit by a bus file? If so, can you forward it to me?
Yeah, right. I don't think you want any of the things that are in my hit by a bus file. It would just all be work. It would all be stuff that is like a to-do list that has...
That's right.
So I'm not going to burden anybody with that. No, Carrie and I share, we have a shared one password vault with like some things in it that are just logistically useful for each of us to have. But otherwise, no. And Pip and Williamson and I have talked a little bit about the importance of making sure that minimizing the bus factor, really. Like, if anything happens, hopefully there's enough out in the world where someone could pick up and run, you know, with whatever the idea is, or making sure that enough commentary exists out in the world about all these things. And bank information, mortgage information, that kind of stuff is all, you don't need passwords for that. Everyone takes care of that stuff. And if you get a new computer, I want to be able to pull down everything from some remote place as quickly as possible. So hopefully I don't, I mean, you never know. To your point, Ben, you never really think about all the little things you've set up and hurdles along the way. So I guess I should probably actively look and see how difficult it would be to take over any of the things that I'm responsible for, because maybe it would be surprisingly difficult to do. Hopefully not, but it might be worth doing.
If I ever, hopefully I don't just pass away, I hope I'm given at least some time to erase my browser history. That would be, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing I'm hoping for. So Ben, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And I, like I said, absolutely, in the beginning, I know his passing was recent, and you were at the funeral on Monday, which the live stream was fantastic. Just real quick, is that something that you orchestrated, or how do they usually live stream funerals? Because they did a fantastic job.
They live stream the service there. Idlewild is a massive church, and they live stream the services, and so they already had all the infrastructure there.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, after, right, you know, the next day or so, when Kristen messaged me and said, can you set up a live stream? And I said, well, I'm sure the church has one, the big church. And she said, well, they said they can't get the team together. And so I put out a feeler for, can somebody help me with a live stream on Twitter? And then the church came back and said, okay, we found the team, we can do it. And so it made me look really good. It looked like I set up the most professional live stream in the history of live streams, but I did not do anything. The church handled all of that, and they had these awesome, massive cameras and the audio and everything. I've heard good feedback from it. But, yeah, that's all. The church handled that, and that's because they've got a team that does it every Sunday.
And for those who didn't watch the service, I want to mention this because I thought it was awesome. But at the very end, they played the Star Wars theme, and that was pretty cool. And and that's what Jesse wanted.
Yep. Well, Jesse technically wanted it to be the song that Kristen walked down the aisle to in their wedding, but he got overruled on that. But they threw him a bone. And so instead of the walking in, it's the walking out.
But that was
pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was still cool to hear. So, in closing here, I'd like to give you an opportunity to sort of express or say, you know, what is it you would like people to remember Jesse for, or you know, any last thoughts you have about Jesse's life that you'd like to share with our audience?
Sure. I think just the lesson that you have to learn from Jesse is to not take things for granted, to not take things like lung function for granted. I told this story in the live stream, but when I first joined the WP Morning Crew, I didn't know that he started it because he was up at 4 a.m. doing breathing treatments, and that was why he was sitting in a recliner with a phone at 4 a.m. and not asleep, is because he was doing breathing treatments. But he didn't, again, let that define him. He never told us that's what he was doing. He probably might have told somebody at the very beginning of starting the group, but by the time I joined, we just talked about WordPress. We talked about client stuff. We talked about ways to, and so just if people can live their lives not making excuses, but live their lives intentionally, and that applies to almost every area of life. Jesse was very intentional about everything. He was intentional about his faith. He was intentional about his relationships. He was intentional about his marriage. It's a great lesson we can all take to be intentional and to not take things for granted.
And it's so easy to take something for granted when you're in pretty much good health. You know, you're not on a transplant list. You're not wondering, you know, when's that day going to come or when's that phone call going to come. And as the longer you wait, the worse off you get, you know. And it's, you know, and for someone like me, you know, it's this balance of, you know, you only live once, or, you know, or I'll be here tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it. You know, I could do that next week because, you know, I'll be around. So it's, you know, trying to strike this balance of, except for the things I really want to do, the things that are expensive. Hey, you only live once. That comes into play and that makes the decision easy, you know, from you doing stuff. But yeah, I mean, taking stuff for granted, like I'll sit outside and, you know, I always think about what it would, the one thing I would hate is being locked up in a hospital room, in a hospital bed next to a window where I get to see civilization moving about, going to wherever they want to go. They could go to any restaurant, go to the park, and me, I'm stuck in that bed. And so I try not to take for granted the fact of, you know, being outside and being able to breathe the air and all that little stuff that would just drive me nuts that I can't participate in if I was, you know, cooped up in a hospital room.
Mm. I have a friend of mine who recently had some health troubles, and we were driving around the car. We went to dinner, and he has a developer mind. He's an accountant, but he has a sort of developer's programmer's mind. It's like, I think, you know, at least most of us do, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. And he described it as if, you know, you have all these processes that are running in your life, and pain.exe just happens to be using up 100% of all the available resources. And you can't force quit pain.exe. It's just running in the background all the time, constantly. And so it takes a lot of willpower in order to, you know, take pain.exe and limit it to 1% or 2%, or not have it affect all the other processes that you have running in your life. And it sounds like Jesse really had mastered that. I mean, it's when you're going through aches or pains is one thing, but the breathing treatments and lung capacity are constants. And so for him to have remained as positive throughout the entire process is a huge testament for all of us, I think, as an example to use to remember all of the little things and focus on staying as positive and looking forward as far as we can, I think.
Well said, well said. Pain.exe, how about that? Ben, I want to thank you again for being on the show, sharing your perspective of Jesse's life, your friendship, and some of the things you're working on. And I want to express a hearty gratitude and thanks for stepping in and really helping out this family during this time of need and helping out with Jesse's projects and taking over as much as you can with this client work to ensure that things kind of don't skip a beat with them. And continuing to stay in contact with Jesse's wife and being there to provide the support and the knowledge behind the geekier side of Jesse Peterson and helping out the family through this crowdfunding campaign and through other means. So thanks again and keep up the great work, man. And again, if we could do anything or, you know, to help you out or spread the word about something, just let us know.
I will. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Ben.
Right, see you.
Have a good day. And there you have it, folks. Ben Meredith, just a great guy overall. Someone, you know, it's pretty cool for someone to step up, and that's a huge responsibility to take on to yourself. You know, for the client work, for the emails, and like Ben said, you know, you're probably not ever ready to dive into somebody's computer, their personal life, and see these things that, you know, nobody else were really meant to see, you know, or some of these ideas that were still, you know, in the person's head on the computer. And, you know, so kudos to him for carrying that burden and for continuing to keep on and make Jesse's clients happy.
That's a big deal. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of emotional connectivity that you have with a person that you have to hold on to for yourself, right? You're looking at you're looking through somebody else's sort of their diary, their journal on their machine or computer of things that really only they've ever needed to write down or work on, and in a way that you take all of that on. It's a lot. It's a unique circumstance that everything goes more online and we've all got multiple devices and more things exist. I imagine it's probably a thing we'll run into more and more with one another and our parents or everyone. It's kind of an interesting problem to have. Or what do you
my wife have dealt with this with her parents, where certain things weren't signed. You have to go through the probate. You have to go through these processes. Oh, sure. And really, you could end up in just a world of hurt and world of pain and trying to figure this out and figure that out. I mean, it could just become a giant mess if you don't get all your ducks in a row when you can to make it easier for the next person to take care of. It is a real drag, and it's something that I'm working on to where I'm going to end up having to do a will. I've got a life insurance policy. I've made sure of that. And I also, like I said, I got to create that bus factor, that hit by a bus factor, so that, you know, if I go first, at least my wife has all my passwords and she doesn't have to worry about that side of things. So, so that's just, just got to get on it, you know. I'm stubborn. I'm lazy. I figure, hey, I'll be here tomorrow. I don't have to do it today, right?
hopefully you are here tomorrow, Jeff. I mean, yeah. Jesus.
Tomorrow. It's like that commercial. So we got a couple of stories I want to talk about. Today is July 12th. What does that mean? It's Net Neutrality Day, Battle for the Net Day. It's don't let the internet providers screw you over, so let's protest against them day. Automatic has released a pretty cool plugin to battle net neutrality. When you install it, this little message pops up. That's the Cat Signal plugin. So we're actually using the Cat Signal plugin on WP Tavern. So if you visit WP Tavern today, of course, depending on when you listen to the show, the day will be over. But what it does is it provides this prompt that says, it gives you an opportunity to put in your information, to send a note to a congressperson or whatever, and it's makes it easy for you to protest. Automatic has a plugin that does something a little similar. What it does, it actually replaces some of the posts on a page with a spinning icon, sort of highlight what it would be like if certain providers were able to slow down your access to specific content instead of having equal access to content across the board. And I thought what I like about this is when you saw the plugin, it doesn't say enabled, disabled, on or off. It says protest enabled. So when you check mark the box, it means you're protesting. So you can helps you fight for net neutrality. And, for the longest time, I had a hard time understanding what net neutrality was all about, because the way all these different people explained it, it seemed like it was a bad thing. And then now it's a good thing. But, the more I read about it, net neutrality, what's in that word? Neutral. Neutral means equal access across the board. So net neutrality is a good thing.
We could have an entire episode alone about my thoughts on net neutrality.
Well, we can't do that today.
I know we can't do that today. But this is like Net Neutrality Day 4.0. Between how many times have we had to go through this? It's like
once a year.
It's been called different things. It's had different names. The net neutrality
fight for the future
has stuck around, but I think you're 100% correct that it is not the most clear way to describe what is, I think, the most important thing for the web right now going forward. It is just not a super clear way to talk about it. So it makes it scarier. It makes the whole thing feel a lot more fragile than I wish that it was, just because it doesn't have a really good, clear name and description behind it.
What would you call it? Net equality? Equal access? Something?
I, I would just call it web freedom, I think, is like everything.
You know, freedom.
The free, right. Yeah, exactly. It's something that is implies that the everyone's freedom to publish or have an equal playing field is in danger. Calling it net neutrality is just what it is. It doesn't really describe or imply what you may lose, because what is the opposite of neutral? You don't know what the repercussion is for not being neutral. Having it, the opposite of freedom is, I think, pretty free and clear on most people's minds. So,
yes.
It just seems like we... I don't know. It seems like we probably should have come up with a better name for this and agreed on it sooner or something. I don't know.
Well, all I know is that some of the posts on the Tavern as of late already load slowly with net neutrality. So if you take away net neutrality, just imagine how slow the Tavern will be. I don't want to imagine that.
I feel like I might have talked about this with you in a different episode, but my cliff notes for this, and I'll say it one time in case I've said it before so that it doesn't bore everyone again, is that we have seen this happen with radio, with television, heck, satellite radio, cable TV. We've watched this happen over and over and over again, where it starts off free and awesome, and then it gets suffocated and we ruin it. And that is what we are on the cusp of doing and letting happen to the web right now, is we are letting the big, huge corporate interests determine how the web is navigated and ingested and scoured and used by everybody else. And that's a super scary thought. Today, you could spin up a website for literally anything at any reason at any time, have it on the instantly publicly accessible to the web, and go. And to not have that, or to have that be throttled or taken away because some other company in the middle decides that they want to bully you out of it, or they want to take it over, or they don't want to prioritize you, is not any different than an inability to spin up a radio station or a TV station or anything else. And so the web ebbs and flows, and it comes and goes where, okay, well, you can't start your own network television show, but you can start your own YouTube channel. But YouTube decides, Google decides how prioritized your YouTube channel is versus all these other channels. And so imagine, yes, you have the freedom to start your own YouTube channel, but you don't necessarily always have the freedom to put in your channel what you want, to prioritize your content the way you want it, or to do with it what you want, and YouTube can cancel you or turn you down or shut you down at any point. Now imagine
even today with net neutrality, certain YouTube videos are banned in other countries. You can't see them.
Yep.
And that's with net neutrality.
So you take that same concept and apply it to literally all of the web. That's terrifying, I think.
It is terrifying, but you know, and thankfully we have corporations with big pockets who are instrumental on the web, like Automatic, like a number of other companies who are fighting against this, that they know the repercussions of what could happen. It could seriously impact their business. It could impact the way a whole host of customers access their business. Yep. And
Automatic, but, GitHub, EFF. I mean, there's a bunch. There are so many companies that really are openly being very vocal about the importance of a free and open web and net neutrality, but it is still also scary and disappointing and sad.
Do we have enough people in the general population who knows about net neutrality and the importance of it to stand up and fight against it? It seems like we did last time, you know, and that's one of the cool things about our former president, Barack Obama. He stood up for it. He knew the repercussions. Mm-hmm. He knew how bad it would be for everyone, for the world, for the United States, if net neutrality was to fail. I don't get the same. I don't want to get political. I've already gotten political. I don't think Trump has any clue. He only knows how to rant on Twitter, and his son only knows how to vindicate himself, you know, on Twitter. But
sounds to me like you're getting political.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, that's what's going on. But like the saying goes, you don't know what you have till it's gone. So if we're fighting for it, but let's say we lose, let's say the decision happens and now things start getting regulated or controlled by the companies, maybe it should never get that point. But what if it has to get to that point to finally wake everybody up to say, no, this is not the way it should be. There's no way we have to reverse this and then protect it from happening ever again.
But we won't. Like, every time you turn on the radio station in your car, it's the same stations and the same commercials and the same thing all the time, because it's regulated to be that way. And every time that you turn on network television or cable TV, we have 3,000 channels and they're all terrible and you can't find anything because it's all sort of the same stuff and it's nothing that you want to watch. And the commercials are terrible and the messages are full of propaganda and da 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 da. So we've watched this happen over and over and over again. And so to answer your question as to whether or not this is a thing that people actually prioritize or know whether or not they want, I really do think that the answer is no. I think most people don't know or care. It's such a big idea that's so far away from anything that most people have to care about, because everyone's got their own pain.exe that's taken up a lot of their time or their effort or their concentration or whatever else, that worrying about the quality of the radio in their car or the quality of their online programming or the quality of the web is just a thing that they feel like they have no power or influence over. So they don't even bother. I think most people won't worry about it. So I think the scary answer is that no, I don't think most people care. But then the only thing that we can do is continue to try and educate people respectfully and politely, but look forward, look on to whatever the next thing may be, and really try our best to influence the direction that whatever the next thing that isn't the web that promises independence and freedom could be going forward, and decide whether or not WordPress is a thing that fits into that, or that we are individuals that can fit into that, and on and on and on. We could, again, talk about it in a whole other episode, a whole other time. It's scary. I think it scares. It really is scary, I think.
So I want to send out a congratulations to TenUp, who has acquired Lyft UX. Lyft UX was a smaller user experience design-driven agency founded by Chris Wallace and Brad Miller a number of years ago. So they're going to join TenUp's 120-plus person distributed team, along with Lyft's director of technology, Kristen Chung, and front-end developer, Anthony Grant. And as it turns out, this deal has sort of been a year in the making. They've been doing discussions about this. They found out that both companies had very similar processes and how they work. And at one point, they were competing each other for bids on certain projects. So there is that. And Miller says that they were always looking for agencies to partner with. And when he reached out to TenUp, he was looking to build a relationship to help work on UX design projects. And he says that TenUp has a strong engineering background and felt like having them as a partner would be huge for their agency. He says, Jake and I quickly realized that Lyft UX and TenUp had so many similar processes that it sounded like our two companies were the same, but just a different in size. And that's what Brad Miller said here in the article. So the article goes on to talk about how the decision came into play. Now, Lyft UX was founded in 2009. They'll be closing up their chapter. They're transitioning all of their projects and all of their work to TenUp. And now TenUp is going to be that much stronger when it comes to the developer and user experience part of their project. So there you go. Another acquisition in the WordPress space. Agency to agency.
And this isn't TenUp's first acquisition either. If anyone wants to think all the way back, at least to 2013 when Brainstorm Media, I think, right?
Brainstorm.
That was around the time where I had spent a little bit of time at TenUp, so I feel like I am not spilling the beans by saying that they, in my experience, Jake Goldman and the executive team at TenUp they took the Brainstar Media acquisition extremely seriously, and so it would not surprise me if the recent relationship with Lyft UX and the folks there was scrutinized the same, and if not more deeply, based on what they learned from Brainstorm. So it's cool to see everyone collaborating and leveling up and Voltroning up and becoming bigger and better.
Voltroning, yeah, Voltron.
So congratulations to both groups. It's huge to see those kind of things still happening. And I think it's great that the executive team at 10UP is still looking for good talent to try and bring into the 10UP team. It's really cool.
Miller also said that he thinks it's hard to find quality talent that's interested in a full-time position. There are some amazing designers out there, but a lot of them are contractors and freelancers. He says 10UP wanting to find a team that had a big focus on quality design and user experience, and it didn't hurt that Lyft UX was big on WordPress. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. So, you know, I guess the design talent out there is short in supply if you want to have them on full time. So that's one of the reasons why they acquired him. So there you go. Nice pickup for 10UP. And Let's Encrypt, they've made a bit of history, and they made a big announcement, actually, on what's coming up for 2018. They've recently passed 100 million certificates issued, and they'll offer wildcard certificates in January 2018. Now, here's an interesting stat. See, when Let's Encrypt service first became available, less than 40% of page loads on the web used HTTPS. Executive Director Josh AS said, AAS, how else would you pronounce that? But he says it took the web 20 years to get to that point. In the 19 months since we launched, encrypted page loads have gone up by 18% to nearly 58%. He says that's an incredible rate of change for the web. And when we talk about wildcard certificates, what that does is it'll allow a site to secure an unlimited number of subdomains with the same certificate, which is something I know a lot of people have been waiting on. And I think this has implications for WordPress multi-site installs, doesn't that?
Sure does. I mean, that's a big, big, big deal. And they are different types of certificates that work in different and unique ways. And so, that was always the original question when Let's Encrypt first started offering certs was, what about wildcard? What about wildcard? What about wildcard? So to see that they've been continuing to work towards offering those when that happens, provided that the whole net neutrality thing is still sticking around and happy and good, then having them offer wildcard certs is an enormous deal. And then when you think back to a few episodes, or maybe last week when we talked about Wangard and Jose and some of the challenges that he saw with threats and just other problems with him as an individual making life more difficult for bad people doing bad things, well, now imagine a company or an organization like Let's Encrypt who is trying to secure the entire web, what they must go through and deal with in terms of harassment or anything else, having dealt out 100 million certificates and openly announcing that they're offering to a blanket certificate for all subdomains that anyone might have going forward is, I mean, it's a lot of risk factor there. And really are sticking it to anyone that is taking advantage of unsecured non-SSL domains in the future. It's a big, big deal that has lots of potential repercussions for them and support burden and technical overhead. It's a huge challenge. So kudos to their entire team for what I am sure is an overwhelming amount of work to roll out a feature like that. I'm sure it's a huge deal.
Let's Encrypt is going to offer the wildcard certificates via the new Acme version 2 API endpoint, which will start supporting base domain validation via DNS with the possibility of adding other validation options in the future. And Acme is the protocol that lets Encrypt develop to allow subscribers to acquire and manage certificates. So those using the version 1 endpoint are encouraged to move to version 2 as soon as it's available in January 2018. And the version 2 protocol was developed to be an Internet Engineering Task Force standard so that ACME can work with more certificate authorities in the future. But hey, when I see ACME, I think of Looney Tunes. I think of Wile E. Coyote. I think of the Roadrunner. Hey, that's just kind of the mind I have there. But pretty cool news there. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to getting those wildcard domains. Wildcard certificates, I should say. And that's about it for big-time stories that I have this week. Is there anything you want to mention? Anything on your mind?
This is an intense episode.
I should remind listeners that we wrote about this on Monday, but the WP Campus is taking place this weekend, starting Friday and Saturday. All sessions will be streamed live for free. So if you visit the WP Campus website, I think it's wpcampus.org or wpcamp.us, it might be. You can sign up there. You could watch the streams for free online. And it's a conference based on WordPress used in higher education. So there's three tracks of sessions that will be recorded. They'll be available online for free, I believe, after the event is over. But I'm looking forward to looking at the survey results this year, because they ended up doing the survey again on how people use WordPress in higher education. And we talked about this last year when the last survey results came out, about the perceptions that these certain people have with WordPress using higher education, and that it doesn't scale, that it's insecure, and it's just for blogging. And these are perceptions that are not just prevalent in the higher education space, but really just in general. You know, these seem to be the thought process of so many people in the WordPress, not WordPress space, but just in the general audience, that, oh, WordPress, yeah, it's that blogging thing. Or, you know, it doesn't scale. Oh, yeah, there's a security issue with WordPress every other day of the week. Now, that's how some people see the platform, which really isn't true. You know, WordPress does scale. It's used on huge websites. And you can read about case studies all the time from all the various hosting companies that are publishing them, like Kinsta and WP Engine. Those two companies in particular love to do case studies on large websites and how they run on their hosting platforms. And then the security issue, I mean, everything's going to be – nothing's 100% secure, but WordPress has an excellent track record on pushing out patches and security releases as need be, as things need to be fixed, at least for the core software. Now, plugins and themes, that's kind of a crapshoot. You can't really control that too much. But some of the more up-to-date, more aware plugin developers and popular plugins do a reasonably good job in keeping those things up-to-date. And as far as WordPress being used just for blogging, well, that hasn't been the case now for a few years. That's just – I don't know how you change that perception other than maybe we end up with this whole slate of really cool, awesome websites powered by JavaScript and the REST API that have nothing to do with blogging.
You know what? You don't. And I'm going to rant, because the people who say that WordPress doesn't scale are people that forget that automobiles don't scale either. And yet they have and did, and now we sort of just have way too many of them. When you consider the amount of work that goes into optimizing the world for an automobile, where we pave 10 lanes wide to get people from one end of the country to another with metal and aluminum and steel that needs to be mined, and rubber for trees and tires and rims and spark plugs and all of the plastics and rubbers and materials that goes into making one automobile, that now you can go and buy any used car that might be 10 years old for $1,000, put some gas in it, and get across 3,000 miles from one end of the country to the other, doesn't scale either, except it totally did. Like, it totally overscaled, and we have optimized the world for automobile travel. So for when people say that WordPress doesn't scale, they are really nitpicking and concentrating and talking about the wrong scale. They are talking about the wrong thing. Because this is the WordPress is scaling. WordPress is not a problem of software or hardware or technology anymore. The future of scaling WordPress is shifting that mentality exactly. WordPress scales technically perfectly fine and not any different and usually better than most other things that are available or direct competitors to it. What doesn't scale is usually people's perceptions of what scaling is. And so in an enterprise setting, in a educational setting, trying to convince an IT team or an existing internal team to replatform off of whatever they're used to onto something new, regardless of if it's WordPress or not, is the hardest part of scaling any piece of software. Scaling it in somebody's mind is way more difficult than scaling it in the real world. So it's such a tiresome, exhausting discussion to talk about whether or not the software scales. I'm more fascinated and interested in talking about how we fix the human element of accepting that these things are totally fine, and how do we make them even better for users to install in a school setting, in an enterprise setting, to trust that that it's going to adapt and do and be whatever it needs to do and be. I don't know.
Remember back in the day when Dig was cool, when Dig was the user submitted news content website, where if you had it on the front page of Dig, I remember back in the day where if you had a WordPress, if you had a site powered by WordPress and you ended up on a Dig front page, boom, it wouldn't take too long until you just saw a white screen of death. The site would crash. And boy, let me tell you, that did a number on WordPress's reputation. That's when everybody said, well, you don't have a caching plugin and WordPress doesn't scale. It can't handle load. And once you get more than 10 page views at a time, WordPress crashes. That was sort of the mindset of a lot of people back in those days.
But who it is irresponsible to run any software on the web without some kind of caching in front of or on it or in it. No application, none of them, will scale without some sort, some level, variety of caching installed. And it doesn't even need to be full page output caching, even just object caching. If you write the most sophisticated, amazing React-based, Node, JavaScript-only front-end version, super fast, super lightweight front-end-only application, it's still... If the request that it makes out to WordPress and those objects aren't cached and ready and hot and primed in the server and it's got to hit the database for it for every user every single time, all of that front end optimization that you invested in is gone. So it's just silly to think that because 10 years ago, 15 years ago, some sites didn't have object caching or page caching installed, that it was somehow WordPress's fault that these things happened is kind of silly, I think. And the underneath it all, WordPress's object caching and full page caching is pretty awesome, actually, the way that it's architected and the way that it's written and works and integrated into everything it works exactly the way that it should, and not any more or any less. And there are arguments to be made for wanting fragment caching or wanting something more over here, something more over there. But to be honest, most WordPress sites will never need any of that. So,
what's the saying? Cache runs all the things around me. Rolls all the things around me. Cache rules.
Cash rules everything around me. That's do we end today's episode with a Wu-Tang Clan quote?
Yes, why not?
All right.
There you go. So that's going to do it for the news and our discussions of this week. I wanted to get that WP Campus highlight out there. As far as my pick's pretty easy. It's newlongs4.me. It's something I encourage all our listeners to go check out, where you could read about Jesse's battle with cystic fibrosis, along with his website, cffatboy.com. And he really writes these things it's raw, it's emotional, it's exactly how he was feeling at the time. And you really get a sense for, you know, kind of replace yourself with him based on the way he writes some of these stories. And, you know, you can learn about his life. You can learn about the things he dealt with and how he worked and battled cystic fibrosis. So definitely check that out. And John, do you have a,
no,
you have a pick? My
pick of the week, I feel like we've talked about a lot of really, I would say we talked about some of the most important things this episode than we have talked about in a really long time. So my pick of the week is exactly the same as yours, because I'm not going to get in the way of Jesse's website and what we talked about earlier. But I will add a hat tip to, again, the GiveWP folks who, with Ben, who was our guest earlier, and the WordPress folks, that the newlungsfor.me website and the donation form is powered by GiveWP. So a very small group of folks that are choosing to double down on empowering initiatives like this and providing and building the software to make it happen is part of what I think makes the WordPress community an amazing thing to be a part of. And so it's great to see a website like this exist in the first place, but knowing that it's powered by the Genesis theme, GiveWP, and is providing a pretty good an outlet for Jesse at the time and for Ben to keep that going and his family and Jesse's family to get some help is kind of full circle. So my pick of the week is all of the things we've already talked about, just with a bow wrapped around it, I think.
And I know we should wrap this up, but doggone it, my mind, you know, I just wanted to ask you something. So I'm seeing this outpouring of support for Jesse on Twitter and all the cool things people are saying and the lives he touched. Is it wrong or selfish of me to think, you know, what would people say? You know, I wonder what people would say if I passed away. And I would, of course, I'll never know. I'll never find out because I'll be dead. But you know, I just wonder what people would say and what kind of, I don't know. I just think about, you know, if I pass away, I wonder what they'd say. I wonder what would happen.
So
I wonder if the WordPress community would like shower my wife in all these wonderful things. I don't know.
And I think we talked about that. Ben touched on that a little bit, is you may never know, but you can do your best to make sure that in the event that that happens, that you are
people are better off having known you.
Yes, exactly. That people look fondly on the time that they were able to spend with you or the opportunities that they had to intersect or interact with you. And so whether and what people are really going to think, you'll never know anyways. So the best you can do is the best you can do. And for some people that will be more than enough, and for some people it will never be enough, and that is on them. And there's not a whole lot that you can always do about that. So the best you can be is the version of you that we all already know and love. So I wish I could have any problems, Chad.
I wish I could stick around just to read that tweet from somebody I thought I was friends with in the community say, yeah, boy, that guy was an asshole.
Well, people say that already, don't they?
Actually, you're right. So I could see that while I'm alive. That's a great way to end this show. So you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes at wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at @JeffFFR0. And John?
Follow me on Twitter, GitHub at JJJ. And check out my blog at JJJ.blog.
Until next week, have a safe, enjoyable weekend, everyone. I'm working on trying to get a guest on to talk about the WordPress hosting group that was created in 2016. So it'd be nice to find out why that group was created and pretty much what they're doing as of late to improve the WordPress user experience, which I know is one of the,
I know some people. I can make it happen.
Well, I know some people as well. I'm just waiting on them to get back with me. And then at the end of July, July 26th, there won't be any show. I'm going to take advantage of the unlimited vacation policy, and I'll be off for a week at the same time as my wife. And then we'll be back. Oh, man, it'll be August already. So we'll be back on August 2nd. And hopefully sometime in August we could do our Gutenberg roundtable episode, which I've already had a handful of people reach out to me and say they're interested in being part of the show. So that's what we have to look forward to on WordPress Weekly. Again, take care, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. So long.
Bye, y'all.